Systems, more than a system, a solution. As we roll on here live at the UGA bookstore, it is time, Jeff, to make the closing argument in the case of Georgia versus Notre Dame tomorrow night.
Well, the Fighting Irish, one of the all-time storied programs in college football. I mean, going back to Newt Rockne, you think how many high schools around the country have Notre Dame's fight song as their song?
Yeah. Probably.
I mean, you hear that, yeah. Whether you love, hate, indifferent towards Notre Dame, you hear that. I mean, it makes you think college football. It really does. And when you talk about the history that Notre Dame has, and Brian Kelly's done a fine job, and it is interesting that we've had kind of these crossovers, the near miss in 2012, in 2017, the win in South Bend. Last year, a near miss. You know, who knows if the Dogs come out on top if Georgia and Notre Dame meet. I'm still convinced. They say, oh, good job. You just have to play Alabama again. But the trajectory of these two programs. Georgia was in the playoffs 2 years ago. The Irish were in last year. And you've got both coaches who've been on the biggest of stages and both quarterbacks who've been on the biggest of stages. Notre Dame has a lot of veterans. They've got a lot of seniors. They're going to be extremely tough, extremely physical. I think the biggest key on kind of a broad scope, taking away the intangibles of injuries and turnovers. You know, those things can obviously change things askew. This game's going to be one in the trenches, but also since neither one of these teams has had near the test that they'll see tomorrow night, I think it's whichever team counterpunches better. Because at some point, the players on both of these teams, there's going to be a hit on those first couple of possessions, or you know, Andrew Thomas is going to go up against a defensive end, and Notre Dame's offensive line is going to go up against a Georgia defensive tackle, and both sides are like, whoa, you know, we hadn't seen that yet this year. So it's going to be how you respond. And then also in a game like this with so many talented players, there are going to be some big moments. I mean, what if Notre Dame comes out and runs a double reverse or a flea flicker and boom, they strike for a long touchdown. Then all of a sudden you got all this hype. And how does Georgia respond to that? Well, or if Georgia jumps up on Notre Dame and this crowd's rocking, how does Notre Dame respond to that? I think that's the biggest key to tomorrow night.
Well, like over the last 2 years, when was the last time Georgia trailed in a game here?
Just that 3-0 to Vandy. And then we scored Fromm to Godwin on the next play from scrimmage.
So last season.
Yeah. No, we fell behind Auburn, too. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's
We're behind Auburn
10-6. That's that weird
six.
Series where the losing team keeps scoring
first.
It's bizarre.
So we were behind Auburn. Then we took the lead middle of the second quarter. Then we scored. Kirby did a great job with the clock at the end of the first half. And we got that TD to go up 20-10 and, you know, kept them at bay.
But there haven't been a lot of those moments where Georgia's even trailed.
And I don't think we did at all in 17, did we?
Did South Carolina miss that field goal after we onside kicked, right?
And then they tied us at 7, but I don't believe we were behind.
I think Kentucky might have led briefly.
They did. You're right. They got to take a 3-0 lead.
Yeah.
Then we kind of woke up a little bit and got it wrong. Because that was the week after Auburn.
Right. But even then, like, the damage wasn't, you know, if you're kicking field goals and you're down 3-0, no problem. But, yeah, I mean, especially if Notre Dame were to do it with some sort of, like, trick play, then it's like, all right, now you got to be on guard for anything. Because this team is, they're an underdog and they're prepared to do whatever it takes. I mean, who knows? Maybe they, you know, onside kick, anything like that. You don't know. So you got to be, you definitely got to be prepared for that.
Well, I think it's going to be just visually, too, when you look at Georgia in the red jerseys with those red helmets. It looks so beautiful when the lights bounce off of them and the lights going off of those gold helmets for Notre Dame. It's going to be an awesome sight.
Yeah.
And I think Notre Dame's road uniforms, I like our white road uniforms better. I think they've got great road uniforms too, with the gold pants and the white jerseys.
Yeah, I like them better than their home, where they just wear the navy blue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of those, like the road jerseys with the whites, look better. Like, even thinking USC looks sharp when they go on the road.
And I've always, as we
Auburn
totally
looks good too.
You know, if we ever need to kill time, we can always talk uniforms and schedule.
Right,
and we could kill 10 hours.
And black
easy
jerseys,
but I think, like, I love the Steelers road uniforms too. I think the home is too busy. Like, I don't like the yellow and the black. Like, if I was Pittsburgh or Green Bay, I'd have white pants with the black jerseys or the green jerseys. And then I like the yellow pants on the road with the white jerseys, and in Green Bay's case, they've got green numbers, and Pittsburgh wears the black with the yellow piping there.
Yeah.
So I just think if you've got two, and that's the thing with USC, so they've got like the gold pants and the maroon jerseys. I just think that's a bit, I think they'd look better if they wore white pants.
The Packers are another one I like their road whites more too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you got the green numbers on there. Those are good. One of the best looking uniforms ever, just because of the way the rose went off of it. The whites we wore in the Rose Bowl was an awesome looking uniform.
No, I like our road look
too.
We're wearing red tomorrow night, and Irish will be here with their golden domer helmets. And I'm glad too, because Notre Dame is one of those they're one of those franchises now that'll break out these alternate uniforms. They've got that one where they'll put the big shamrock on the side of the helmet. And they've had a few hideous concoctions too. But so I hope they're just going to play it straight up tomorrow night for their first trip to Athens.
Oh, you have to. Yeah, I mean, this is Georgia, and that was another thing too about the whole black jerseys and just the. And again, if we want to wear a black every now and then, that's fine. And Kirby's not going to make a big deal out of that. That's one thing. So as a fan, if you want to see us wear black every now and then, that's fine. And we might every now and then. But let me tell you, it's not going to be some surprise, fake juice, anything like that. That type of stuff is a distraction. But you got these two programs for the first time in Athens. You wear what you'd normally wear.
Yeah, you
got
to play it straight up.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
All right, moving on then. Forget about the offense, because we know who the guys are. Fromm's got to play great. Swift's got to play great. The offensive line's got to play great. Who do we need to step it up on defense? Because Notre Dame does have an excellent offense.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, it starts with the big man in the middle, big Jordan Davis. And I think if he's able to get that push and occupy blockers, that's going to free some guys up to do some things. So then you're talking about Tyler Clark, Azeez Ojulari, and we'll see if Tyson Campbell can go. I have no idea. I would guess a corner with a bad foot. And I mean, we don't know if he was able to practice much on Wednesday or Thursday, but if he wasn't getting those reps, maybe he plays some, but maybe we see DJ Daniel out there. And so I think from the back end, I'd love to get a pick to make a big play there. But you just don't want to give up the big play on the back end. So I guess, Bramer, I'll go with the easy answer and say the big man up front, Jordan Davis, see if that frees some things up. And then maybe Clark and Ojulari is the guys who can come up with some negative yardage plays, maybe get Notre Dame behind the chains. But we got to keep containment on Book, and that means not just on the ends. You got to keep an eye on him with the alley. So that's why I think Georgia, you'll see a spy on him for a lot of the game.
Well, and whoever that is one of the key players that needs to bring it tomorrow. As we've talked over and over, one of the plays of the 2017 season was Roquan coming from the middle of the field and tracking Wimbush down on that third and short.
I'm going to give you a dark horse defender who might spy a little bit, who might make a couple of plays tomorrow, Channing Tindall.
Okay.
I just say his game, that might suit him. Okay.
All right. And this could be a night, too, for a hotshot freshman like Nolan Smith to have his national coming out party.
Now, you think about it, too, the job that Jake Fromm did, the Baphmatic baptism by fire, to get thrown in on the third series of the year, and not just to have your number called, but to be prepared. And you could see the team responded to him, which tells you right away that he had put in the work. And he goes out and plays a phenomenal game. And then you talk about sitting on a 54-hole lead at Augusta National. Okay, freshman, good job. You played great. All right, listen, your first start, yeah, we're playing Notre Dame in South Bend.
Yeah, I
and
know.
He
didn't blink.
No. I mean, he is, as Coach Dooley would say, a cool operator. But these guys – they are laser focused. I mean, the leadership on this team, they have done a tremendous job of just focusing in on what's coming up next week. I've told you this story before. In 2017, we were rolling through. Emily and I had gone for a late lunch, early dinner, and we're watching some of the games, and Jeb Blazevich came in with his girlfriend and said, "Hey, Jeb," I think it might even been the Florida game, like, "Hey, congratulations, great win over Florida." Yeah, we're already on the South Carolina. I'm like, and I said, "Well, I'm not. When we win, I enjoy it. I set a rule for myself," and I think you and Emily probably had something to do with this. I enjoy the win through Monday Night Football.
Right.
And then we usually on our show, Tuesday, we start moving ahead, win or lose. But I said, if we win.
Yeah, you need to tell, you need, should have told him, listen, I'm not Kirby. You don't have to give me that. Like,
that's a great win over Florida. Enjoy
right.
it.
Oh, we're moving on already. No. I'm not Kirby. You can tell me that you're still yes, enjoying the win over Florida.
But I think just so I wouldn't make you and her completely miserable, I made this policy a few years ago. I'm like, all right, I'm going to at least, if we get a win, I don't care if it's Murray State or Florida, I'm going to enjoy it through Monday Night Football. If we beat Tech, I enjoy that. I've made myself try to go to the Masters before I start worrying about them again.
Well, that was like a couple, I guess it was after that Falcons Super Bowl that the Patriots won, when poor David Andrews had been corrupted by Belichick, because he had some quote about, like, yeah, you know, I know we won the Super Bowl, but all these teams that weren't in the playoffs they've had a 1 month head start on next season.
Like, oh my God.
Like, listen, man, come on. What are you doing?
Yeah, that sounds like how, like, when Lenin took over the Soviet Union, you just indoctrinate everybody.
Yeah, but, like, really? I mean, you just won the Super Bowl and you're thinking about how all these teams have been working out already for a month?
Well, let me clue you in. Why don't you ask Brain, you being a long-suffering Dolphins fan, hey, would you like to trade places? You'll miss a month of getting ahead for next year, but you do get to win the Super Bowl.
Well, he had a point, because then they lost the next Super Bowl, though.
Yeah, exactly. So clearly held him back.
Huge impact there. All right, moving on in the 5-5. The two possible outcomes tomorrow, a Notre Dame win or a Georgia win, obviously. There are no ties, although I'm okay with ties, but we don't have them.
Well, Notre Dame played in two famous ones.
Yeah. Well, I'd prefer a tie than ultimately like a two-point shootout, but hopefully it won't come to that.
Oh, my Lord.
If Notre Dame wins, what are their playoff chances? If Georgia wins, what are the playoff chances?
I think if Notre Dame wins, they are 75% to make the playoffs.
Wow, 75%. So it's a bigger impact for them than us. With a win.
I think if we win, we're probably still around 50-50, because it's going to come down to – I mean, this is, in all honesty, one of those games that it would be a bad loss in terms of the playoff. And I think especially when you look at what Ohio State and Oklahoma are doing – Clemson, listen, it's not Clemson's fault the rest of the ACC is terrible. And they did play A&M, so you have to give them credit for that. But, I mean, who do you see legitimately giving Clemson a game? You know, maybe South Carolina? Nobody in the ACC title game. I mean, unless somebody emerges. So, you know, who's it going to be unless they just completely fall asleep in a game? But, you know, well, maybe NC State. Well, they just lost to West Virginia. So you see Clemson getting in there. And now all of a sudden you sit and say, all right, well, I mean, a one loss or an undefeated SEC team is in 99% of the time. But what if Notre Dame is undefeated, or if Notre Dame's once beaten and Georgia wins the SEC at 12-1, they get in over us.
Wait. Oh, if they've beaten us.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they get in. So this is one of those deals for Notre Dame. If they win, again, looking at the rest of their schedule, they are really, really set up, and they've put themselves in a good spot. I think for Georgia, the schedule's so much tougher, especially when you look at that November stretch. This is just one of those, like, all right, here we go. And the bottom line is, too, we'll see how it plays out. But you could make the case – from this week through the next seven games, which are SEC and then Tech, that Georgia has played its three weakest opponents already. Now, we'll see how that plays out.
Well, they have until they get to the Tech game.
I like that dig, by the way.
Yeah. But, you know, Georgia from now until the Tech game have definitely played the three weakest opponents they'll face all year.
So this is the starting point. I do like, Chris, win or lose – I like having the open date next week just to decompress from this whole thing.
It is. It's definitely well timed now. I mean, a loss would make it a long two weeks.
It'd be a long 2 weeks.
But if you go out and you win, which we expect Georgia to do, having that off week will be that'll definitely come in handy before everyone makes that trip up to Knoxville to Red Out Neyland Stadium.
Red Out Neyland, there you go.
Especially because if you figure, I mean, the Vols lose tomorrow and they're 1-3, right?
Yes.
And then they're off too, so they're going to be hosting Georgia 1-3.
There'll be a lot of red in the stands.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on Tennessee.
With a loss to a team that lost to Western Michigan 57-10.
The process of transference.
All right, moving on in the 5-5. Biggest need tomorrow for a team in the country as far as a victory goes.
Texas Longhorns.
Even more so than Michigan.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's because you know, if Michigan loses at Wisconsin,
yeah,
they could get
a rematch.
They've lost at Wisconsin, who right now have outscored their opponents 110 to nothing. But here's the thing for Harbaugh: he is 0-6 straight up as an underdog since he's gone to Michigan. I think he's 2-4 against the spread. Both of those covers against Ohio State, but still straight up losses. But but Texas needs to beat Oklahoma State at home. That's the bottom line.
Well, because it is one of those deals. And listen, we've been in that mode. And obviously, Texas, that was a huge win for them. The game meant more to Texas. I'm not trying to devalue it for them. Congratulations. They deserved it. They earned it. That game meant more to Texas than it meant to Georgia. Our season essentially came to an end in Atlanta in the SEC championship game last year. But they've got to get to that point. I mean, if you're talking about getting to that playoff, and they hung in there with LSU. I never felt like LSU was going to lose, but I'm like you. I was impressed that Texas never crumbled. They hung in there. I thought they showed a lot of fight. Tom Herman's going to get them to that upper echelon, but now the question is, are they there yet? And part of that is getting to a point. If you do have a championship caliber team for a year or two, and listen, you know, we all know what you know who has done, but realistically, you've usually got most schools, we've got a 2-3 year window. Do you get to that point where you feel like you're clear of those teams on that next tier? So to put it in other words, are they closer to beating Oklahoma twice and beating LSU? Or are they closer to losing to Oklahoma State? That's why a game like Saturday answers a lot of questions. And like we said, Chris, I think they're the most nervy team on Saturday.
Yeah.
I think they've got the biggest case of nerves on Saturday. For Michigan, though, you're right. Big picture, it's just one of those, you know, for the program, they need that win. But they could survive it. In some ways, I get it, it's a conference game, but it's cross-division. That game, to me, is a little bit more similar to what we're going to have happening here. A loss here, it would hurt you, it would knock you back, but it's not just it doesn't just completely fry your season.
No, it's not the end of the world, and you do have a chance to maybe rematch. Plus, Michigan is, and they've only played two games, but they're 2-0. Texas does already have a loss. So
yes.
If they were to lose tomorrow, then they're – you know, coming out of September, and they've got two losses already.
And another one, I mean, you talk about huge for both teams. I mean, that A&M Auburn game is massive, massive on a national stage.
For A&M would have two losses if they don't win that. I mean, think A&M would you've beaten Texas State and Lamar, and then you've lost to Clemson and Auburn, so.
And I mean, and that's one of those things, like we said, when you win, every game looks winnable. When you lose, it looks losable. I'm sitting there as a Georgia fan thinking, if we beat Notre Dame, like, my God, we're going to be 4-0. We've won 13 games and 11 games these last 2 years. SEC champs, blown out Tech, beaten Florida both of those years. And then all of a sudden, you look, if we lose tomorrow, it's like, oh, my gosh, in our last six games, we're 3-3 with wins over Vandy, Murray State, and Arkansas State, but we've lost to Alabama, Texas, and Notre Dame. I mean, you know, three of the all-time blue bloods there. So we need to get a big win. And you know, because then you don't want to get to a point where it's like, well, you know, it's a big game. And now listen, it's a different animal with Kirby here. We're going to be ready to go. We're going to be ready to go each and every Saturday. But the bottom line is when there is conjecture and talk and there's noise out there, you know, these kids through social media and everything, these players, you know, they get on Facebook and Twitter and the internet and watch TV and, you know, they hear what's being said out there. So there's definitely an influence.
And that's part of, you know, the angle for Notre Dame is
for
what
sure.
Are they hearing? They're hearing everyone tell them they're coming here to get just buried tomorrow night.
I know. And give a bunch of 20-year-old kids a cause.
Yeah, which I do think they will, though. But
get buried or?
Yeah, get buried.
Okay, I hope you're right.
All right, there's today's 5 at 5 brought to you, as always, by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. We are.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.